We're talking today with Dr. Jeff Edwards, our Extension State Wheat Specialist. Jeff, let's talk a little bit about our wheat crop conditions right now across Oklahoma, across the entire hard red winter wheat belt, for that matter. It seems like that while Oklahoma went into the winter in fairly decent shape, we have remained mostly dry. I know that is a concern.
That is a concern, especially in southwestern Oklahoma. They missed out on those few rains that we had last fall and were extremely dry, and conditions really haven't improved throughout the winter. So we are at a bit of a tipping point. We really need some moisture within the next few weeks. It's top dress season. We need moisture to move that nitrogen into the soil profile. So we are hitting a very critical stage for our wheat where we do need some moisture.
Well, overall, Oklahoma has been a little bit better off as far as our wheat crop condition compared to our neighbors, both to Texas, south of us in Texas and the Texas Panhandle and Kansas as well.
We've been better off than our neighbors. Most of the media attention has focused on western Kansas, Nebraska, eastern Colorado, where the drought has been much more severe. In Oklahoma, even though we could use a drink of water, we haven't been hit as hard as those states. And wheat that emerged in a timely fashion last fall is still in pretty good shape. It's some of the wheat that just didn't emerge until November, didn't get going until late. I'm really concerned about that wheat. Likewise, I'm concerned about wheat that was sown in very early September, got real growthy and used a lot of that moisture last fall, and it's hurting as well.
Now, we've had some very unusual temperatures, some snow cover on a lot of this wheat, but do temperatures, when we start talking about teens, minus in the teens, does that worry you about the ability to overwinter this type of weather?
It does concern me quite a bit. Normally, as long as the temperature is above 20 degrees Fahrenheit, I tell people there's not much need to worry. But we're in the negative teens, as you mentioned. If wheat had snow cover on it, even just 6 or 8 inches of snow cover, it should be fine because that'll insulate the soil surface and keep it at around freezing. It's the wheat that did not have the snow cover, or maybe the snow cover was removed because of the wind. That wheat could be in trouble. That is especially true in wheat that did not emerge until late. It was small, maybe only had a few leaves, and really was having a tough time of it anyway. And that type of wheat is especially susceptible to winter kill, and we could have some real issues in that late emerging wheat.
These temperatures, very unusual for the southern plains, but I mean, not just northern Oklahoma, but southern Kansas had that same situation, right?
That's correct, and they're a little more accustomed to winter kill issues than we are. Most of our varieties that we grow are fairly winter tolerant, but we haven't had a year like this to really test that, and this is really going to push that to the extreme. We're kind of going into unknown territory as far as these varieties and how winter tolerant they are.
Right. Learn a lot, I guess, as they come out of dormancy a little bit later on. What about what are you hearing from producers in regards to decisions on top dressing with nitrogen?
I'm hearing some really good things. Due to the price of wheat, I think a lot of producers made the decision prior to the blizzard to go ahead and put out some top-dress nitrogen, and that's a good thing. We still have some producers, though, that are sitting on the fence, and if there were ever the year to apply top-dress nitrogen and be fairly liberal with that top-dress nitrogen, not conservative, but liberal, this is the year. You know, we can invest. It takes about 2 pounds of nitrogen to produce a bushel of wheat. So if we invest about $1 worth of nitrogen right now in February and March, theoretically that should return us around $8 to $10 at harvest time in June and July. So that's 700-800% return on investment over a 5-month time period. There are just so few opportunities to get that type of return on investment, and that's what we have a chance to do with top-dress nitrogen. So this is the year. We have good prices. If you haven't top-dressed, as soon as you can get back out there in the field, we need to get that done and make sure you get enough out there.
With the cold temperatures that we have had, we've spent a lot of hours below freezing. What does that do for us as far as maybe setting back some of the diseases, setting back some of the insect problems we've had in years gone by?
It certainly in the wheat that did not have snow cover, just as it's going to be tough for the small wheat to make it through the temperatures, some of our foliar diseases such as leaf rust, things like that, it's going to be tough for them to make it through those type of temperatures. But wheat that had snow cover, we were finding a few leaf rust pustules prior to the blizzard, and I expect when the snow cover leaves, it won't take long for those wheat leaf rust pustules to come right back. So I don't know if it's going to be that beneficial in terms of disease. I don't think it will take long. If we get in the 70s next week, we have some moisture around, it won't take long for those diseases to come right back.
Let's talk a little bit about first hollow stem. We're just now here mid-February as we speak. We're not that far away, although we have obviously been set back with these cold temperatures.
We have. Normally, we start checking for first hollow stem at Stillwater in plots around February 15th. And this year, I don't think we'll have many varieties hit first hollow stem until that last week of February. However, it's supposed to be in the 60s, even in the 70s next week. We have moisture available in some areas, and whenever we get those conditions, the wheat really jumps. So my prediction is that we won't have many varieties reach first hollow stem until the last week of February, first week of March. But once they start hitting first hollow stem, it will only take a few days for all of them to hit first hollow stem, and we will progress very quickly.
And, of course, the research shows we really need to get those cattle off to preserve yields.
Absolutely. Dr. Eric DeVeest in Ag Economics has some excellent tools available on the Internet to compare different scenarios, and there's really just no way to make grazing past first hollow stem pay off if you're planning on harvesting a grain crop in addition to removing those pounds of beef. I know beef prices are high, but so are grain prices, and there's just no way to really make that pay off. It's really important to have those cattle off by first hollow stem.
What are you talking to producers right now about? What do they need to be doing from, we're mid-February now, what do they need to be doing in the next few weeks?
Well, of course, we've got to get that type dress nitrogen on. Keep an eye on insects. We haven't had many aphids out there. I don't anticipate too many problems on the insect front. So the next big thing that is going to hit us will be deciding whether or not to apply a foliar fungicide. And in Oklahoma, that's going to start maybe down south as early as the end of March on through about mid-April is when we have to make that decision. Again, we're dealing with a crop that's potentially going to be worth $8 to $10 per bushel. Foliar fungicides are going to cost the producer anywhere from $12 to $22 per acre. That's only a couple of bushels per acre improvement to break even on that investment. So I think foliar fungicides are probably going to look very attractive to many producers this year. But you really, if you're relying on someone else to make that application for you, you can't really wait until you see the disease out there to make that decision. What you have to do is look at that crop, see if you have good yield potential. If you feel like you have good yield potential, you're probably going to pull the trigger and go ahead and make that fungicide application to protect that yield potential.
I guess that depends on what kind of moisture we get between now and, say, the third week of March.
Absolutely. It's going to depend on what happens over the next month, month and a half. And fortunately for us in Oklahoma, we have Texas to the south of us, and they can kind of give us a little bit of an indication of what our disease picture is going to look like, because whatever it's going to hit us will hit them a few weeks ahead of time. So that will help. It's just important to remember, though, on those fungicides that they do have to be preventative in nature. If you wait until the disease is out there and you see the problem, you've probably missed your window.